If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
9:08 is Friday. The weekend is oh so close. Hi, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin on this open line Friday. If you want to call into the show, it's 673-5890. If you want to text me, it's 467-5842. Those are both 435 area codes. So 673-5890 to call and 467-5842 to text. Mello is with me today as well. Good morning, Mello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're on a new health journey?
Oh, my gosh. Every week I'm on a new health journey. But this week I'm actually stuck to it, and I've had no sodas all week. So I'm
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
I wanted to.
I need to do that, but...
But I bring you one every Friday.
Oh, it's not your fault. Trust me.
Okay,
it is not
good.
Your fault at all.
Good.
There's, you know how you point the finger and then three of the fingers are pointing back at you?
True.
That's me right there. All three fingers.
I'm the problem. It's me.
Anyway, we've got lots to talk about today. We're going to help a little bit with those amendments that you're maybe looking at on your ballot. Like, what does that mean? And so we'll try to decode those a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about Mello's health journey and her quitting of soda, among other things. I wrote a story for our website. It's kind of fun and funny, but it is based on science. It's called Take It All Off Utah, Tips to Sleeping Better, Including Hitting the Hay in the Buff.
No, thank you.
It's science. I'm just reporting what...
reporting the news.
We also are going to touch on how old is too old for trick-or-treating. In fact, let's start there. Okay. Oh. So when I was about, I think I was 14 or so, I'm a big guy, right? I was a big guy when I was 14, not this big, but I was a big guy when I was 14, and I kind of felt like that was the end of things for me. I couldn't trick-or-treat anymore. Me and my buddy went one last time, and more than the candy we got were the comments we got, like, aren't you a little old for this?
Yeah, that should be a warning.
So I was like, I guess, and that was actually the last time that I trick-or-treated. But I did an unofficial poll, Mello, online. Unofficial meaning I put it on social media and waited for comments.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly to me, although Utah is a very conservative state in many matters, they're actually quite liberal in this. Said one commenter, a few years ago I would have said 12 or 13 was too old, but... Or the end of things. But my views and the world have both changed. I say let them keep trick-or-treating as long as they want, 16 or 17. It beats other things they could be doing like at night, like drugs. Plus, at least they're off their phones for a little while. Interesting.
Well, as long as they're in a costume, I suppose. But I don't like it because sometimes, like, when you have little kids and you can't go trick-or-treating with them and give out candy, you'll leave a bowl. And I think a lot of the bigger kids are more brazen, and they'll dump the bowl and take all the candy.
Especially if you leave the bowl out later in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, it's the end of the night anyway. I'll just take what's left.
Right.
That's not cool.
Yeah. I think elementary school. When you're out of elementary school and you're in middle school and intermediate school, then go to, like, the dances, go to the parties. You don't need to go knocking on doors.
Okay. So the university, Fairleigh Dickinson University, that's in New Jersey, said, did a poll throughout America. They said, and they calculated the numbers, and they found that of the thousands of people polled, that they... average age, according to people polled, is 13 and a half. That's when you should stop trick-or-treating, 13 and a half. One commenter on Reddit, now, in Utah, by the way, 25% of people say let them go as long as they want to go. But on Reddit it said, Here was one comment. I'm 16 and I still do it. Is that bad? I go with my younger cousin and my nephew. I mean, it's better than going to parties and getting drunk like a lot of kids I know my age will be doing on that night. Another person answered that comment, said, it's not bad at all. It's especially fun for kids to trick-or-treat and spend time with people they consider their peers. Halloween is such a social holiday, the only holiday where you visit with most of the people in your neighborhood. It's stupid to put an age restriction on that, in my opinion. And one more, somebody said, people are weird to care about teenagers trick-or-treating, in my opinion. What do you think, Mello? You have kids, so.
I know. I usually let them go as long as they feel comfortable going, but my daughter is 14 and now her friends don't want to go anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's so part of it, yeah.
I think that's part of it, too. They'll naturally wean themselves out. But then my older son and his girlfriend came when I took my son trick-or-treating, and she tried to trick-or-treat, and I'm like, you are too old. Because it was embarrassing, because I had to watch her walk up to the door and say trick-or-treat and have everybody look at her weird. I was like, maybe you're too old.
So how old was she?
I can't remember, but I'm going to say she was at least, she was in high school or just graduated.
Okay.
She was too old. I think that's too old. Unless you have like a little kid and maybe you're like sneaking a candy or two once in a while.
Yeah, and the dad tax is certainly in play here.
Yes.
Dad,
yes.
We did a thing with our kids. That was weird.
That was fun.
Was that you?
No.
It wasn't me either. It sounded like love hurts, but anyway. We did a thing with our kids where they got to go trick-or-treating up until whatever age they decided they wanted to finish trick-or-treating. And when they brought the candy home at the end of the night, so they snacked while they were trick-or-treating. That's how kids are, right? And I understand that. But at the end of the night, when they got home, we made them dump all their candy out. Not together, but each one in their own pile. And then I let them that night, no matter what night of the week it was, I let them pick the three that looked, I don't know, their three favorites. And I said, you can have those tonight. You can, you know, go for it. I said, but the rest of your candy I'm going to put in a bucket or a bag or something, and you can have like three or four a day. That way, two things happen. Number one, you're not hyped up on candy and can't sleep tonight. And number two, your candy actually lasts a while. It lasts a week or two. And I don't know. The kids were like maybe not happy with that rule, but I think they came to embrace it and like it. And I did a couple of times. I would do the dad tax thing and take, you know, there's a Reese's. I think I'll buy one.
Exactly. But, well, Rhonda's on line one if you want to grab her. She wanted to probably talk about this too.
All right. Rhonda, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to say, I had a neighbor who, when teenagers came by, she would refuse to give them candy. I thought that was horrible.
Ooh.
My feeling is that if they go to the trouble in their little group to have costumes and they're doing it, it's just something good for them to do. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Like you say, go out partying. And I don't care how old they are. We hardly, you know, with trunk or treat and everything now, we hardly have any trick-or-treaters. So I'm thrilled when they come to the door, you know.
Yeah, that whole
see their costume.
The whole trunk or treat thing is interesting because it's hard to criticize it. Yeah, it's safer and it's kind of a cool thing for people to get together, but it trick-or-treating is kind of killing trick-or-treating, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I only have like three trick-or-treaters.
So. Plus, little like kids, older kids, you know, they like to do like, you know, go look for things like, what do you call that?
A scavenger hunt?
Scavenger hunts and stuff. And this is kind of like that. You're just going around, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's fun for them and it's a good evening for them.
I agree. I agree. Well said, Rhonda.
That's my feel.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you.
The one thing that bothers me, and my wife will say, yeah, here we go again, is when teenagers show up in the end of the evening and they're wearing sweats and a t-shirt or whatever on Halloween, and they're like, hey, trick or treat, hey, you know, give me some candy. I hate that. I so bad want to get like a squirt gun or
a
paintball gun and say, get off my porch, you little.
Oh, you've officially reached that age.
Well, just if they expect me to give them candy and they didn't bother to even put a mask on or paint their face or something, I mean, come on, put a little effort into this thing. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I think you're setting yourself up for a trick instead of a treat, though.
Maybe so. Maybe so. In a similar vein, I want to tell you the official. So I have a friend who I used to be in the vending. The vending industry. I had vending machines, and so I made some good friends in the vending industry. And so I did. I called a couple of them, and I said, "Hey, what's your number one seller? What candy is your top seller this time of year?" And, of course, this doesn't take into account trick-or-treating and all that stuff, but I compiled a list of the top five candies sold in vending machines in southern Utah.
Okay.
So it's very regional-specific, but it is not necessarily Halloween-centric. All right, so here, would you like to hazard a guess of a couple of them before I actually give you the official list?
Sure.
Okay.
I think that Reese's peanut butter cups are pretty popular.
Yes, everywhere. They are. They are. That is in the top five. You're right.
Though I only like those with ice cream, but they're pretty good.
With ice cream?
Yeah, like in a blizzard.
Oh, yeah. Okay. With bananas. Yeah, that's pretty good.
My favorite's peanut M&M's.
Wait. Did you say with bananas?
Yes, it's the best.
Come on. No, don't ruin my Reese's shake with a banana.
It is delicious.
I'm hissing you.
No, you are incorrect. You haven't tried it. When you try it, then come back and talk to me.
I don't. Bananas take over everything. You put a banana on a sandwich, or you put a banana in ice cream, you put a banana in pudding, it becomes banana. I'm not a banana hater. I like bananas, but I don't like that it takes over. My wife used to make me smoothies, right? We would make smoothies, and she'd put strawberries and blueberries and blackberry. I'm like, oh, this is great. And she'd throw a banana in, and it was like all the other flavors were gone. It was a banana smoothie.
That is so
I hate that.
Extra. No. No.
Yes.
Bananas are delicious in it because you still get the chunks of Reese's peanut butter cups. So you actually get the bite with the peanut butter, and then you get another banana, and it's a symphony. It's amazing.
A symphony. I would say it's no more than a quartet, but whatever.
Well, you're gonna try it.
All right. The top five candies sold in southern Utah in vending machines. Number five is Kit Kat. Number four is peanut M&M's. That's your favorite,
yes,
correct?
My favorite.
Peanut M&M's. Number three, Reese's peanut butter cups. You mentioned those a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Number two, this one surprised me, but it passed. When I owned vending machines, the one that is number one was number one, but peanut M&M's was number two. Mm. This one passed peanut M&M's in local vending machine sales. It is peanut butter M&M's.
Okay, those are pretty good.
They are good.
They are pretty good, I still like the crunch of peanut in there.
And
they are pretty good.
The number one, drumroll please, Snickers. Snickers has twice as many sales as any other candy in vending machines in southern Utah. Snickers bars.
So peanuts make it top three.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I guess we should have asked peanut people who are allergic to peanuts. They could go with Kit Kats. I think they're safe. Mm-hmm. But the top four all had peanuts in them, right?
Yeah.
Peanut M&M, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, Peanut Butter M&M's, and Snickers all have peanuts.
So amazing. Yeah. Snickers is pretty good, but I have to be in the mood for that.
Snickers is number one. When I sold my vending machines, I would go, we didn't have a Costco yet, so we would go to Vegas, and I would buy one box or maybe a box or two of every of M&M's and whatever else. I would buy like four boxes of Snickers because that's how well they sold.
Really?
So
I used to have one of those machines where you turn the quarter and then get the candy out.
Mm-hmm.
But like the candy got so expensive that it wasn't worth each turn. So I ended up just getting rid of that.
All right, real quick, I want to talk about the ballot. Election day is Tuesday. A week from Tuesday, rather. Sorry, got ahead of myself there for a second. But most of us already have our ballots. Most of us are going to turn them in. Have you turned yours in yet, Mello?
No, but I did get it. Okay. I did get it. And the library has a drop-off box for it. So
yeah, all the libraries, county office buildings have a drop box. So there's really no excuse for you to not vote. And we'll go over some of the numbers, by the way, about voting here in a minute. But the ballot, okay, it looks complicated. There's a lot of names on there, right? You got U.S. president. You got Cornel West. You've got Lucifer Everylove, and there's a whole story behind that person. But all you need to know about Lucifer Everylove is he starts every interview with, My preferred pronouns are they, them.
The name is Lucifer?
He's officially changed his name to Lucifer Everlove. Yeah. and his pronouns are they, them. Okay. So that's all you need to know.
Okay.
Joel Skousen, Jill Stein, Chase Oliver, Claudia De La Cruz are all in the presidential slot, along with two people maybe a little more familiar to you, Donald J. Trump and Kamala D. Harris. I don't know what the D stands for. Do you? Democrat.
Democrat. I like that one.
But, so really just ignore all the others, right? Vote for the one that you feel is best going to do the job. But if you ask me, it's going to be Donald Trump. Most of the others are pretty self-explanatory. People are still getting excited about Phil Lyman and Spencer Cox and everything, and I made it abundantly clear how I feel. I don't think Lyman has a chance to win. I voted for him in the primary. He lost by a lot, and I think that it would be really a vote for a Democrat if you voted for anybody but Cox at this point. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay, about those amendments, though. There are four amendments on there, A, B, C, D. First thing you can do is you don't even have to write on them or scratch them out, but A and D are not officially on the ballot. I mean, they're on the ballot. They're not going to be counted. One of them, they didn't publicize it in a printed newspaper, which I don't even know if we had any of those. But so and then the other one, the judge ruled that there was something else. I can't remember what it was right now. But A and D, even though they're on the ballots had already been printed when the judge rulings came out and said, no, we're not going to count those. So A and D don't even count. Don't even worry about them.
How do you know about that if you don't hear about that here?
Well, you need to hear about it here.
Okay. Well, that's impressive, but would you know that?
It has been. I've had it on our website. It has been on the Salt Lake websites, the TV websites, the Deseret News, the Salt Lake Tribune. So, if you're uninformed enough that you don't read any of those outlets or listen to the show, then you wouldn't know it.
But, and your vote could be lost to A or D.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, my wife was like, are they going to count them anyway just to see where they're at? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think they're going to 100% disregard it. Constitutional Amendment B. Oh, and by the way, before I talk about B and C, traditionally, amendments do not pass. They're 3 out of the last 16 in the last decade passed. So what is that? That's like 12% or something like that passed. So or 14 or something like that. They traditionally do not pass. So having said that, though, I don't see any harm in passing either B or C. B is, so way back when Utah was setting up as a state, the leaders took the idea of whatever money is made off of public lands, we're going to give 4% of it to schools to help educate the children. And all Amendment B is saying is let's bump that number from 4 to 5%. No taxes, no money comes out of your pocket. I actually have yet to read a negative article about Amendment B, and I've done a lot of research on it. So I don't have a problem with that one passing. It's not going to cost me any money, and it's going to help improve education in the state. So I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And then Amendment C is about the most, useless amendment there will ever be. Amendment C says every county in Utah must elect a sheriff and not appoint a sheriff. Well, guess what? Every county in Utah already does elect a sheriff. So I was reading Brad Wilson is the sponsor of the bill. He's been on our show before, but he said, we just wanted to make it official in case some county decides not to do the election. We want to make it an official deal. And I said, well, was someone about to maybe not do that? He said, no.
No?
No. But just in case.
Just in case we're official, yeah. You must elect.
Yeah. So I don't know if they'll pass because, like I said, usually amendments don't pass, but I don't see any harm in either one of these passing, personally.
What's the percentage to pass?
Well, in the last decade, only 3 out of 16. So.
No, I mean, how many votes does it have to get to pass?
Oh, just a majority.
Just a majority.
Just a majority, yep. And that's the other thing that surprises me is the fact that more people in Utah aren't going to vote. Let's see if I can find that story. Oh, here we go. Nope, that's not it. There it is. So in Utah, this is amazing to me. This is according to Axios Salt Lake. Only 62.6% of voting age Utahns were registered to vote in the national election. 62.6, that's about 1% below the national average.
Wow.
I'm like, wait, what? And then of that 62% that actually registered, only about half of those voted in the last election, only about 50%. Now, they expect a little bit higher number, maybe 60%, because it's a presidential election and it wasn't, you know, 2 years ago. But this is a state, Utah, that is, let's see, according to Axios, I like the words they use, so I'm going to quote them, outwardly patriotic, highly educated, and dominantly religious, a religion that encourages civic participation, and yet we are 1% below the national average of registered voters. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So.
And then you said of the 62%, only half of that?
Only half of them actually voted, yeah.
That's unconscionable.
Yeah. I think it'll be higher because of the highly contested presidential race. There will be a big segment of ballots. Mm-hmm. I mean, a huge segment of ballots that will... They won't vote for anything else. People will either fill out Trump or Harris, and they'll vote for nothing else. They won't fill out any of the other bubbles.
Yeah. Well, it's hard when you haven't done your research like you have to know who to vote for.
That's true. But anyway, I was stunned. I would encourage people now, having said these numbers, to, number one, register. If you're not registered to vote, do it. It's actually really easy. You can do it online in like 2 minutes. And then once you register to vote, do it. Go vote. You could actually vote from your chair in your kitchen, and then mail it in if you want to, or while you're out running errands, just drop it by one of the libraries, like you were saying, Mello, or the county office, offices, and it's really not that hard. It's really not. I don't understand people that don't and. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we will, and I know you're going to vote, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got my ballot. I'm going to go through that probably this weekend.
All right. Do
it. Get it voted, because every vote counts.
9:30 on KDXU. A couple of other things that we're going to talk about coming up on the program. Let's see. I want to go to this page here. I have too many windows open. Do you ever have the IT guy that come in? You need to close some windows, man. I know, but I use them all.
I know.
Yeah. I was one of my friends online said, yeah, I finally, the other day I needed some information and I finally went on my browser and it was like the 47th tab had the answer to my question. And she said, I'm vindicated. All my life I've been leaving these tabs open and I finally needed one of them. Yeah,
oh my gosh.
I'm vindicated.
My phone is the worst. I have like 100 Safari tabs open on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to close those.
I know.
This is going to slow down the performance of your machine.
I'm aware.
So. But you know what? I don't want to be the pot calling the kettle black because I have too many tabs open myself. So.
Exactly.
Let's check weather. When we come back from weather, this quick break, we're going to talk to Mello about giving up soda pop and her 555 program, which I don't think I'm strong enough to do the 555 program, but maybe you will be. Maybe we can help somebody when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Mello. Melody Phillipson is here as well. I'm Mello.
How are
you?
Good morning.
Melody is the sweet voice behind the... landscape with Rolling Stone commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that place.
My sister actually asked me, she said, because in one of the commercials I address you as Melody, she said, is Mello and Melody the same person? I said, yes, they are.
Yeah, she's got a good ear for that.
They have merged into one. from the headlines today, I want to get your reaction on this one. The FAA is issuing a final rule for air taxis and other electric-powered aircraft. It calls the regulations the final piece in the puzzle to introduce these types of aircraft. It outlines, well, it goes on to talk about what it does and everything. But, yes, air taxis have now been approved by the FAA so that you can maybe leave the airport, get into an air taxi that will fly you right to your hotel. What do you think about that?
I don't understand.
The Jetsons. Da, 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 you know, flying in a taxi to your destination instead of having to worry about traffic and stuff.
I thought that's what Uber was.
No, the air taxi.
Air?
You're flying.
Like in the air?
Yeah, you're flying.
Okay, go ahead. I'll do it. Yeah, I'm game.
They said it's the first new, they're calling it a new form of air travel, the first new form since helicopters were introduced as an official form of air travel in the 80 years ago. So what did that, the 1940s? You know, yesterday we were talking about on the show things that we wouldn't do, like, you know, skydiving. I have no desire to do that because you might die. But would I ride in an air taxi?
Yes, I would.
You would?
I would. All right. Yeah.
I think I would like it to be a few years old, to like have it tested out for a while. And once it's deemed to be safe, then I would probably. Kind of like airline flight. I don't know that I would have been too comfortable flying in an airplane in the, you know, in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
But now that airline flight has been around forever and there are literally thousands of flights every single day without an incident, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll fly, you know. But air taxis.
I think that sounds fun. I love the Jetsons.
A new report calls online gambling a threat to public health and recommends stricter regulation. A medical journal, Lancet, published a report by a 22-member public commission on gambling, saying gambling is, in fact, addictive. And around 70 million people worldwide are involved in sports gambling. Now, the show that's on after ours, Clay and Buck, they actually have created a sports gambling website. In fact, Clay even gives tips on who to pick and everything. Now, I'm not going to take those guys on. They're big time, and I'm just this little local radio guy, but it has always kind of bothered me that they push gambling so hard on their show.
I don't know. I think, so I don't gamble. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like to put $20 in and get $2 back. I don't think that's a good ROI.
Yeah.
But my husband does love to gamble. And he'll go to Mesquite. He'll drive to Mesquite and he'll bet on the games for the weekend. And he has the best time watching the games because he has something invested in the game outcome.
Interesting. Yeah. So I had a colleague, don't work with him anymore, but I did for a while. He was obsessed. And I believe he had a problem because he every single night he had money on games. To the point where we would be doing a broadcast during the commercial break, instead of talking about the game we were looking at, he would go, "Hey, you know, I'm about to hit a parlay," or "Hey, I want to gamble on this. Who do you think I should pick in such and such a game?" And it got to the point where that's all he could think about, and it kind of drove me crazy. And he still does it. He still does it to this day. And it's so funny because my brother was a gambler, my older brother and oldest brother, and when he won, he didn't gamble on sports, but he did poker tournaments and he did, you know, blackjack and stuff like that. And when he won, we would hear about it. He would, you know, "Hey, you know," this was before texting, but he would send me an email or he would call me and go, "Hey, I just won $1,000 today again." But you know what? That happened like once a month or something.
Wow.
And all the other days of the month, when I know he was gambling on those days, he didn't call me to tell me how he'd won. And so I was just kind of like, I wonder how much, like, he won. Yeah, he won $1,000 this month, but how much did he lose the rest of the month?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're better about sharing their winnings than their losings, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Quite proud of the winnings.
Yeah.
As they should be, but how much went into the actual investment? My wife and I kind of have the same opinion about gambling. Why would I give someone else all that money I worked so dang hard to get?
I know. It's true. I don't know. I think he was kind of, when he was a little kid, his mom took him to the horse races in Arizona.
Bet on the ponies, huh?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what sparked it for him. Like, she wouldn't let him do it because he was too little, but she let the boys choose which horses. And so they put the money on the horses, and like a couple of them won and a couple of them lost. And it's kind of like they're always betting. When they go golfing, all the brothers bet on who's going to win.
See, I will wager, but I wager things like a milkshake or a drink or, you know, something, a pizza. I think maybe the biggest bet I ever made, I bet a steak dinner with a guy.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I lost. I had to buy a steak dinner, but it was like 50 or 60 bucks. It was not that big a deal. Most of the time, I actually recently did a friendly wager with my boss, and it was drinks. You know, $3 drink.
Yeah.
Was on the line. And so I don't know. I guess, like I said, I have this opinion. Why would I give away my hard-earned money to somebody? Yeah. All right,
for bragging rights. My 7-year old will bet my husband $5 on like the football game or the basketball game on TV. Just
he doesn't have $5.
He does. He has. Yeah, he's an only child for my son, for my husband, and does he
really like make his son collect if his son loses?
Yeah,
give me the money, kid.
Yeah, that's really right. Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah. They will. They but he wins more than he loses. My son.
That's what they all say. all right, let's talk about 555. What does it mean now? When you told me about this, I'm like, okay, I could see the benefits of it, but I also could see it being very, very, very difficult to do. So what does 555 mean?
Okay, so I went to a training this week, and it's talking about how to improve yourself and improve your business and things. And so the five things are five things you want to start doing in your life or your business or whatever, your relationship.
So let's stop on that one first. Mm-hmm. Start doing. So... start eating healthier. Is that too non-specific?
No, or? I think that's a good effort. And then you could like break that down into more manageable steps, right?
Okay. Okay.
And then what's something else you could start doing?
Start, I don't know.
I just shaving
my legs.
Ew.
I'm kidding.
I know.
Not going to do that.
So I put like time blocking. Because I think I could be more effective with my time if I would block out sections. And I need to start blocking out time for myself. Because I don't ever take time like to do anything I want to do. I don't. If you ask me what I do for fun, I don't know. I don't have that time.
Hmm.
Because I haven't blocked it.
I thought you came on the radio with me for fun.
It is for fun.
Okay.
It is. It is. And then, so that's like one aspect.
Five things to start. See, to me, that would be hard. It's like, okay, well, I'll start one or two, but... Man, what else am I going to start doing? And the reason I don't do a lot of these things is I don't want to do them. So, yeah.
Right,
okay.
But what should you?
All right.
Should you do?
So, and then, five things to start doing. That's number one. What's number two?
Five things to stop doing.
Oh,
yeah. Because
wow.
You're your own parent, right? You're your boss. Your own boss, which is hard because I'm very lenient. So
I'm an easy boss.
I'm an easy boss.
I should give myself a raise.
Right. So one of the things I did this week was actually stopping soda. Because I kind of make that goal very often because... I love fizz. I love fizz. Yeah, so if I'm on that side of town, I feel like that's my reward
and
for going there.
And I'm a swig
there.
Guy, but yeah, same thing. In fact, to the point where you develop a friendship with the people that wait on you.
Because
there's Abby again or whatever.
Yeah, I know your drink. Yeah, let me grab that for you.
Yeah, you don't even have to order. They just get it.
Norm at Cheers. I feel like an old friend. and then another one I put, and I go through phases where I'm doing really, really good with my life. And then something happens and I just kind of come down and I'm not doing the things I want. And I never used to hit snooze. Never. Like my alarm would go off at 5 or 4 a.m. and I would be up out of bed. I would say, it's going to be a great day. I'd put my good day song on and I would just hit the road running.
Uh-huh.
And I have been like so lazy and I don't know why.
Huh.
So hitting snooze is one thing I want to stop doing.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a good one. But I don't do that. Thank goodness.
You can't.
There's a crazy motivator knowing that the radio station goes dead air at a certain time if I'm not here.
That is very alarming.
In 5.5, no pun intended. That in 5.5 years of doing this show, I have never been late. Never slept through the alarm.
Which
a lot of people are like, so what? Big deal. Well. If you knew me 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was a night owl, the alarm was mostly just a nuisance. This was before phones, but I would pick it up and throw it across the room, or I would throw a pillow on it, or I would turn it off stealthily and fall back asleep or whatever. And so, I don't do that anymore. But that's a good one.
Yeah.
Don't stop hitting snooze. Any other... It seems so hard to find five things in my life that I would stop completely.
So one more I put down was one thing I need to stop doing is I need to, because I'm really good at solving problems, but I solve other people's problems and I need to butt out. So with my adult kids.
Stop sticking your nose in other people's stuff? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, they ask for your opinion, but then you tell them, but then they're mad.
They don't really want your opinion. They just want
to vent. So I need to do what men do and just try to listen to the problem instead of solve. Well, what we want men to do.
What you want men to do.
Right, is just to listen and not solve all the problems. Because I need to have better boundaries with my adult kids. And that's something I need to work on.
I have learned to... So at first, when I started doing this, I would ask my wife, now, do you want me to offer a solution or do you want me to just listen?
Mm.
Now, I mean, we've been married 36 years. Now I can tell by the way she's telling me about something whether I am to shut up and listen or whether I am to offer some help and an opinion. I'm not 100% right. Every once in a while, it's like, well, aren't you going to say anything? And I'm like, oh, this was one of those times I was supposed to. But most of the time, I would say 95% of the time, I'm in tune to that. So,
yeah.
But us guys do have a tendency to want to fix it.
I know. And like as a mom, I want to help my kids as much as
sure.
I can.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes I've been over-helping financially or I've been over-helping, like, if they need a car, I'll find the car and then I'll get the car and then I'll do all the things. But I'm not letting them have that opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I need to stop doing
okay.
that. And then,
well, and also to address what you're just saying, you can actually become a little bit of an enabler if you're doing things for them.
And that's what I've been doing.
You know, if mm-hmm. like a friend of mine needed an appointment somewhere, actually a relative of mine, my wife got online and made an appointment for them. I said, "What are you doing?" You know, and she's like, "Well, I make an appointment for them." Well, why didn't you let them make their own appointment?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Well, I just, you know, I was there and I was thinking, I said, well, yeah, but what you did was instead of them learning how to do that themselves, you mm-hmm. did it for them. And now they're yeah. never going to do it themselves."
Yeah. No, so. I've got that one daughter that's not launching very well. That's 21.
Yeah.
And it's been hard. And finally I told her, I'm like, Bank of Mom is closed. Like
Mom is closed.
Bank of Mom, BOM. I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Like you need to figure out what
I don't know what BOM is.
Bank of Mom.
Okay.
Bank of Mom.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not giving you any more money. Like, if you want to spend your money on frivolous things that you shouldn't be doing, then that's your choice. But you're also not going to have the hair dye you want, or you're not going to have whatever else you want. I'm not paying for it anymore.
Good for you, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, what's the third of five?
The third of the five is do more of. What are five things you want to do more of?
Okay. So start, stop, and then do more of.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
So this one I had a hard time with because I don't ever really have extra time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So one thing I would like to do is I used to read books every morning.
Oh, yeah. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, all of us, I think, used to read more. And mm-hmm. until we retire, you and I completely, that's going to be a hard one.
Right. So I like to read a book. I'm trying. And the other thing I'm stopping is Instagram. And that's really hard for me. Like
really?
I have not been on Instagram. At all this week.
Okay.
And then, so reading books like with Audible in the morning when I'm walking, which I'm going to start with exercising, right? And then.
Start exercising and then do more of listening to books.
Right. Because then I can listen to them when I'm walking. Yeah. So just kind of food for thought.
Cool. All right. 5-5-5 rule. 9:49 on KDXU. I got to get a commercial break in. When we come back, I want to talk about a law they have at an airport that. I don't know. I'll get your opinion on it, but they're not letting people. Well, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. It's a weird law, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 9:52 on KDXU. The time is drawing nigh, but we'll talk a couple more minutes with Mello. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
All right, some things coming up. First of all, I wanted to welcome back Barbecue Pit Stop. They are a sponsor of the show again. Remember, I had a friend that owned Barbecue Pit Stop. He was advertising all the time. I even used to have him on the show occasionally. He sold the business to someone else. They didn't advertise for a long time. They are back now advertising on KDXU. And, I never stopped loving Barbecue Pit Stop.
Oh,
I just said they
it.
Were no longer a sponsor. So,
mm-hmm.
Welcome them back. Tomorrow is National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. Last year, over 100,000 people died from overdosing on prescription drugs. Over 100,000 people in America died. I mean, think about that. That's a lot of people. So if you have old drugs, maybe whether it's even if it's a antibiotic or a prescription drug that is a narcotic, they'll take them at the police mm-hmm. department, at the sheriff's department. You can read more on their respective web pages. But, yeah, tomorrow's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. Don't let those things sit up in your cupboard because what's going to happen is, a teenager's going to find them, a neighbor's going to come over and use your bathroom and find them, something like that. Something weird like that is going to happen. So,
mm-hmm. And if you can't go there, you can always go to Fusion Pharmacy. They have a drop box.
There you go. There. Love it. Today and tomorrow is the 15th annual Warbird fly-in out at the airport. That's the Western Sky Aviation Warbird Museum. They have so many cool. If you haven't been out there, folks, go out there and check out their jets. They're so cool. You can get up close and touch a lot of them. Kids under 15 are free. It's $8 admission for adults. And then you can actually get rides in some of the planes. That costs more, obviously, because you've got to help pay for the gas. He said it's not an air show. Jack Hunter was on earlier this morning. It's not an air show. They don't want to advertise it as that. Air shows are super expensive. He says it costs like $300,000 to get those Blue Angels to come in and stuff. So this is not an air show. But he said what he has is he has a lot of jets coming in that do training for air shows. So they're practicing, basically, to get ready for air shows. Stop by the Warbird Museum and check out the Jet Warbird aircrafts. It's 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today and tomorrow. And one more. Tomorrow is the grand opening of the Signature Pickle Club. That's out off of Washington Dam Road. The address is 960 South 1900 East. Their website is signaturepickleclub.com. I'm going to be there in the morning. Playing pickleball, trying not to get too sweaty because I don't want to alienate anybody. But I'm going to go there in the morning and play pickleball. And then they've got free food from noon to 3 tomorrow with this grand opening. And then they're giving away memberships absolutely free. They're giving away a few memberships at a raffle. They're also giving away equipment like pickleball paddles and balls and swag bags and T-shirts and things like that. It's the Signature Pickle Club tomorrow. 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. And again, food from noon to 3. They have a lounge. It's pretty cool. So they kind of are the concept is kind of like Big Shots Golf, where they have a restaurant there. There's pickleball, yeah. And that's what people do and stuff. But they have a restaurant and a lounge and they have ping pong tables and foosball. And it's just a place you can go and hang and just relax and have a nice time.
How fun.
Big screen TVs and smoothie bar and all that stuff. It's all there at the Signature Pickle Club.
So. Do they sell pickles?
No, it's pickleball, young lady.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll have a jar of pickles, too.
Like fried pickles or something.
You know, I don't know if people realize this, but pickleball was not named after the fruit, vegetable, whatever a pickle is.
Cucumber.
It's named after the dog named Pickles that used to go and chase the ball when this guy invented the sport.
Really?
The dog's name was Pickles.
They called it pickleball. I know that. That's hilarious.
It has nothing to do with an actual pickle. Although I assume the dog was long and green, maybe. Probably not. Probably not. All right, I teased this, and I'm going to read this story from this morning. The FAA is issuing a final rule for... wrong one. Sorry. I got to scroll down. That was the air taxi one. Here we go. An airport is imposing a three-minute limit on farewell hugs. The Dunedin Airport in New Zealand started a new policy last month limiting how long departing travelers can give farewell hugs in the car drop-off zone because they want to keep traffic moving along. Signs posted in the area say max hug time 3 minutes. There was some backlash to the new rule on the airport's Facebook page with some complaining about the hug police. The CEO of the airport defended the hug limit and said a 20-second hug is enough to release oxytocin and serotonin, the happy hormones that boost well-being. But yes, a three-minute hug limit. I'm thinking 3 minutes is a pretty long hug, Mello, but...
That'd be a little uncomfortable. That'd be a long hug.
A three-minute hug is pretty long.
I wonder if that includes the time to get your luggage out of the back.
No, it's just a hug limit. It has nothing to do with... Yeah, just a hug limit. So... and then what if the hug breaks into, you know, kissing?
Oh, right. And stuff, you know? Maybe that's not permitted. It's just hugs. Maybe that's what they're mad about. You know, more smooching.
There's a story on KDXU right now, 890KDXU.com, about sleeping in the buff. Studies have shown, and we only have a minute left here, studies have shown that keeping cool while you sleep actually promotes more healthy sleep and keeps you from waking up in the night because A lot of people do wake up in the night. And, you know, my wife, who, you know, was in the grips of menopause for a while, had the hot flashes, and she would wake up and kick the covers off and everything. But, yeah, according to Dr. Blodgett and other health experts, keeping cool at night, including sleeping, well, with nothing on, can actually promote healthier sleep.
Yeah, but is it good for your neighbors if there's a fire? I don't know if that's good.
Yeah, you got to. And if you have little kids at home, don't sleep naked. Your kid doesn't need to see that. You know,
they can't unsee that.
That's true. That never. You think it goes away? No, 40, 50, 60 years later, they're still seeing that.
Yeah.
So, Mel, good luck on your 555 journey.
Thank you.
I hope you make it. I'm still trying to think of five things I want to quit.
I know. I've still got a couple to go. So just work on your list.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. I'm Andy. She's Mello. We'll talk to you on Monday.